This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Good afternoon. At the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rob.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanik.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back. It is Rob and Souk, your sports bros.
Dude, sir.
What's going on? I'm Rob, that's Souk.
Yeah, right here.
He's a beast.
He's right over there, guys. I'm looking at him.
I'm more about a beast.
You're a beast.
Seems a bit unfair.
Speaking of beasts, hey, can we get to Bryson DeChambeau this hour?
I think so.
Would you like me to hold it? I'm going to do you a favor.
Okay.
I'm going to ask you something right now.
Okay.
Live on the air. If you do not find the Bryson DeChambeau story interesting, which I guarantee you don't find it as interesting as I do.
Okay.
Then I can push that off until Thursday when you are not on the show and maybe... Luke might be in here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I do find it an interesting
story.
But
you don't have to worry about it.
No, I do think
because I don't want to bore you with it.
I do think it's an interesting story. I don't know if it's groundbreaking, but I do think it's interesting. The DeChambeau,
that doesn't answer my question.
The DeChambeau effect. No, let's talk about it. If we don't get it today, let's get to it tomorrow.
Oh, no, we're going to get to it.
I'd like to have this discussion with you.
Okay. 5:15.
Put on another 40 pounds.
Wants to gain 100 pounds.
Is this going to lead to you?
100. No, but I said that to a friend this morning. We were golfing.
Yeah.
And he's a skinny dude, but he hits it a long way.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, dude, you're the next DeChambeau. Because all he cares about is hitting it far. That's he does not he care wants. About anything else.
He's bombing it.
He just got a new driver for $8,000. And he's like, and he bombs it past me and he thinks that's great. And I'm like, dude, you're the next DeChambeau.
I want to see because you are not a large fellow, but you're not super skinny or anything. You just look like a normal person, but you're obsessed with golf. Will you take on the DeChambeau challenge? Maybe not 100 pounds.
No.
What if I told you, because what you're right now, you're what, a 3 or a 4?
Yeah, ish. Somewhere in there.
What if I told you if you had to gain 40 pounds, but you'd be a scratch golfer?
I don't want to gain 40 pounds. That's unhealthy.
Scratch golfer.
I can get to scratch on my own. Look. Here's the thing, too, about my game. If you've played with me,
yeah,
I hit half of my drives out of bounds. Like, my driver is so wild.
Yeah.
If I added a bunch of weight and started ripping the hell out of it, like, I'm just trying to control the damn thing. If I started swinging like DeChambeau,
yeah.
I mean,
I do love
my scores would balloon.
Yeah. I do love the narrative that DeChambeau is, like, somehow, like, all muscly and...
He looks fat to me.
Look, I know it's not all...
He also looks unhealthy.
It's not all bad weight, I'm sure, but let's not act like he's the Rock out there or anything. My God.
But he's got 40 more to go. Okay, so we're going to talk about it.
All right.
We're going to carve out a Bryson DeChambeau segment.
I can't fathom what an extra 40 pounds on him would look like.
And we'll do that at 5:15. I also have a college football weekend roundup for later this hour. In the club, what a jogger found in Florida alongside the road. I'd like to tell you about that.
Had a Law and Order sort of episode. I don't know about you, but I think this all the time when I'm just...
We've talked about this
before. Yeah, when I'm wandering around, I'm like, oh, yeah. I'll
just spoil it for you. It was a human head.
Human head. You're like, I can only hope that the person did the Sukanic method, and that's poke it with a stick.
And, you know, we've all got these designer masks going on now.
Yeah.
I mean, well, not design, but we've all got like, ooh. Now, masks are the thing now, so now you got to get one. I mean, you can't just have like a regular looking mask.
I have a plain black mask, and I feel inadequate.
I know. Me too.
Like, I need to step
It's got to show personality.
I got nothing on my mask.
So my wife ordered some masks. And I stole one.
Did you really?
Because it's got more character than the one that
I
have.
It's got a little...
little flair.
A little fancy feast to it, if you will.
It's got little stars on it. Because I'm a star, Jason.
I almost ordered a Darth Vader one.
Oh, you should have.
I was this close.
We should have 1080 the fan ones.
And I couldn't... That's the douchiest thing in the world.
We go out... Yeah.
Softy has them up in Seattle.
It's me, Rob. You may have heard my show.
He's got it.
You can probably tell from my face mask that...
Is it possible? Could I get one?
Are you
with
serious?
His?
He has his own.
He's got his own.
That say.
Is that the least surprising news of all time?
Yeah, it's got
that say his name on there.
Yeah, and then the microphone in the middle, like his logo on the show.
What? And he's wearing it, or is he just like
I don't know, but
selling it for a good cause? That's a different story.
Oh, he's wearing.
I don't know, but I want.
I don't
one.
Know for sure, but I know for sure.
I want one of your mouth. I want one when I put it on. It's just your like.
Interesting.
Like the lower part of your face.
That could be good.
That's
and I'll wear
want.
One of your face, and then I've people seen, will be totally confused.
I've seen those before where the person just puts their own face on the mask. So it looks...
That's funny.
Like from the lips down, so you can... It looks like you're just looking at them normally.
I want to put like a good-looking guy's face on.
Matthew McConaughey
I'm just
going
to start wearing a... Yeah.
Just put like some up tops on there.
Yeah. You know.
My mustache officially covers both of my lips, so I think that should qualify as like partial mask. Because like half the people I see aren't putting the mask on their nose.
But doesn't that catch all the droplets?
Yeah, that is very confusing.
Well,
I don't know why people do that. And people do it around their chin, too.
I see that all the time.
What is that about?
Yeah. Like, you've got
you're
the mask.
You're making a statement?
You've got the mask on, but
the nose also breathes, you know.
Yeah, I don't quite.
Yeah, the nose. Yeah. You breathe through your nose and your mouth, guys.
You can still projectile that out. But I'm with you. I probably
need. And inhale things in.
I need a better mask. Although the one I have is quite comfortable, but it's...
That's a great mask in terms of comfort.
It is. And that's why I keep going with it. I've almost ordered a couple of those like neck gaiters. I've heard that those are pretty comfortable, that you just kind of pull up.
Yeah, but you kind of look like Antifa.
I know. That's why I haven't really brought myself...
Also, when it gets hotter out, that's not going to be as comfortable because it's basically a turtleneck.
Well, supposedly I guess they're pretty light and jeez. I don't.
That's a jarring drop.
Yeah, it really shocked me.
So that one's a little more mundane. Then you go.
That's like the big keys on the piano. The dun, 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 dun.
All right, guys. Time for the Hot 5 at 5.
Oh. Hot topics. Hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5. Refreshed on the fan by Frost Brewed Coors Light. Number 5.
Well, this pains me. It does. The 2020 Ryder Cup will be postponed.
Yeah.
A year.
So it's not canceled. Remember that, even though they're not going to have one, it's postponed.
Yeah, because they are going to go back to Whistling Straits. They were supposed to be in Wisconsin this year. And I love the Ryder Cup. It's one of my favorite sporting events. And they're just not going to play it, even though they are playing golf and it seems to be going fine.
Yeah.
They're just going to move the Ryder Cup. You know, you got the travel, the Europeans and everything. So they were set for September at Whistling Straits. Instead, it'll be in 2021. Then the President's Cup moves to 2022. The Wizards, already without John Wall in Orlando, now Bradley Beal will be out. He opts out due to a shoulder injury. That dude, if you didn't know, he was averaging like 30 a game.
Yeah.
Spencer Dinwiddie of the Nets tests positive for COVID again. He's now officially bailed on Orlando, so the Nets will have zero good players there.
They're up to 4 eligible replacement players, and then again, no Kyrie, no Kevin Durant.
Blazers leave for Orlando on Thursday. Meanwhile, the Magic, if you're wondering, have already entered the bubble, all just a few miles from their home.
I did see some of the National Bros have been saying that if you want an upset in the early round, Portland over LA.
What?
Yeah.
Over the Lakers?
Over the Lakers.
Why is this a thing?
God.
This is a thing.
Why?
Multiple national people have said that if they had to pick an upset, like in that opener, that someone could knock off Milwaukee or the Clippers, the Lakers, they're saying Portland.
I mean, I hope they're right, but they're not going to be.
Nurk and Collins, man.
Second match of the MLS's back tournament has already been postponed. Now, they're supposed to start tomorrow. The first match is Orlando City and Inter Miami. You ever heard of them?
I think that's David Beckham's team.
Right. Well, they're going to play. But the second match is Nashville-Chicago. But two Nashville players tested positive last weekend. Three more tested positive last night. And there were four other tests with inconclusive results. So they have postponed that game. They do not know when they're going to be able to play it. The Timbers' first match is scheduled for Monday against the Galaxy.
Yeah, so we've already had one team bail basically on the entire season, or at least the tournament, because I don't know if there will be a regular season afterwards, and this is potentially two. There's only 26 teams in the league, so things not going well right now for the MLS.
Eagles wide receiver DeSean Jackson says he does not hate Jews after posting an anti-Semitic quote on social media. Yeah. This was on Instagram.
Yeah, it's a quote that's attributed to Hitler. It turns out it wasn't from Hitler, but the book is quoting that Hitler said it. How about this one? Just athletes in general, maybe don't quote Hitler.
Try not to quote Hitler.
Yeah, in a positive light.
Good rule of thumb. Yeah. The quote was, white Jews will blackmail America. They will extort America. Their plan for world domination won't work if the Negroes know who they were.
And then he doubled down when people got pissed at him, and he just highlighted a specific part of that and was like, no, I meant this. And it was the most hateful part of the quote.
Yeah, I said before that I just don't think that he understands what Hitler did. I really don't. I think he is so dumb that he does not know what is happening.
Well, and he offered a longer apology, and I'll spare you it, but he does say in there that it was unintentional, that he needs to educate himself and get with community leaders. He's kind of going down the road of what you said.
He doesn't know.
I don't think he understands.
I think he knows Hitler was bad, but I don't think he knows why.
Question, did he read the contents of what he posted?
Well,
because I feel like even if you didn't understand what Hitler did, the contents of what you posted are still derogatory against a group.
Look, he is either anti-Semitic or the dumbest human being the NFL.
I'm going the latter.
I just think it's
I bet you he didn't even know what anti-Semitic meant before today.
So he did go on and say that the apology is more than just words. It's a promise to do better. He will educate himself. He'll work with local and national organizations to be more informed and make a difference in our community. It's a big, long post, so
lots of people on social media agreed with him, so, you know.
Yeah, maybe he... Believe me, Mike, it was really disheartening to read some of those comments.
Well, you knew this may be coming. Head of the NFL Players Association says stunningly that the league is not putting player safety first. Now, those sides are trying to work out details of a season during a pandemic, of course. The Players Association president is J.C. Tretter, and he says the league, quote, is unwilling to prioritize player safety and believes the virus will bend to football, end quote. Now, their hang-up is... the number of preseason games. Apparently, the owners came out and said, we're going to have two. The players want no preseason games.
Yeah.
So they're fighting, and who knows if this will get as bad as Major League Baseball. I doubt it, but you never know. Training camps around the league are supposed to open July 28th for most players.
All of these things, if you're making changes, have to be collectively bargained. The owners can't just unilaterally say, we're going to do X, Y, Z.
And we now have a date-ish by which college football leaders will decide if the season can start on time. With rising coronavirus cases, Power 5 commissioners say they will wait until late July before deciding on any changes to the schedule. The transition from voluntary to mandatory workouts begins for some schools and teams as early as Monday. One unnamed Power 5 commissioner said he's still hopeful for college football, but he does not see them starting on time at this point.
No, and tomorrow the Ivy League is set to vote on what to do with their season, and most people think that they're going to push it to spring, and that could be a pretty good a domino effect that other schools or other conferences may want to follow that. I think when you look at this, you can at least say that the season is not going to have fans, and it's not going to go off without a hitch, whether that means a delay, whether that means no conference games. Already you've seen teams, non-conference opponents, the lower levels been decimated because a lot of those schools are just saying, we're not going to play, leaving open schedules. John Wilner had in his hotline report today, sent it to Mercury News, that he doesn't think the Michigan UW game is going to happen, and that they may already be talking about Hawaii trying to fill that role. It's going to be a mad...
What's the difference?
It's going to be a mad scramble.
I don't understand that. What's the difference?
I
One team still has to travel to Seattle. They're both... They're going to play, like, what? So if you can play Washington, Hawaii, why can't you play Washington, Michigan?
Because again, the problem with college football, you are dealing with 150 plus universities all doing their own thing.
And so it's just that Michigan doesn't want to. Look, if I'm an Oregon fan, write me out. I want to punt on the Ohio State game.
Yes.
And the reason I want to punt on the Ohio State game is that is such an awesome game to have at Autzen Stadium that it needs to happen during normal times. If it's a bastardized version of that game, I don't want to play it. I wouldn't want to play it. That's just me, but I can't imagine Oregon fans want to go through with that game if there are going to be no fans or if it's going to be moved or this or that, right?
Yeah.
So maybe it's the same with Washington, Michigan, but I don't understand why you can play some games, but you can't play others.
Well, and
that makes no sense.
And I think you probably can play. I think the idea is what you're talking about there. I think there's a lot of schools that don't want to. They're not going to deal with these sorts of things.
I think you said it best earlier in the day when you were like, you predicted that they will just bag non-conference.
Yep.
And then everybody just plays a conference schedule and that's it.
Yeah.
That's the smart thing. They should do that right now. And it makes more sense because it's more regional and you cut out all those non-conference games because you don't want to axe some of them and then play others.
But the downside of this is that even if you play without fans, you are talking about in some cases between a 30 and a 60 or even 70% in some of the smaller school budget reduction or revenue coming in if you play without fans. So whether you play football or whether you play football or you don't play or you play without fans, there is going to be a giant butcher knife that is about to get taken to athletic budgets across the country because at this point, seemingly there's no way that you're going to play with fans in the stands this year in college football. It's just not going
to
happen.
Hot 5 and 5, refreshed by Coors Light. The best way to chill this summer is with Coors Light's new limited edition summer cans. Pick them up anywhere Coors Light is sold. Coors Light! Mountain cold refreshment made to chill. The DeChambeau effect, he is changing the game of golf, and it's actually quite fun to watch. We'll get into it next on The Fan.
Big. Bleh. Blip, blip.
Bleh. Prime time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Plus, something interesting going on in golf. You know, I get that a lot of you, some of you, I think there's a pretty big appetite for golf, especially right now with COVID. I think everybody's out playing golf. It's like one of the only safe things you can do.
Yeah.
Golf's one of the only sports on TV. But one of the things that's going on is really fascinating, and it is that douchebag Bryson DeChambeau, who is such a goob. He's the weirdo that we've talked about him before, but all of his clubs are the same length.
Yeah.
Like he's the guy, he just thinks he's the smartest guy in the room. And he's
got a little bit of the Trevor Bauer in him where he just thinks that he is going to be on the cutting edge of kind of transforming the game.
And the latest that he has done, and if you don't like golf, like what, if I told you there is a guy who got all beefy and he wants to gain 100 pounds. He's only gained 60. He was 180.
Yeah.
He is now 240.
He looks like a completely different human being.
And he wants to be 280.
Yeah.
So he gets all beefed up and he goes all WWE on the tee box and just bomb, literally grunts and swings as hard as he can and bombs drives like The Miz.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, is that.
I like that you dropped The Miz.
Is that not interesting? Because that is exactly what he's doing.
Yes. And that's exactly why he's doing it, to add length.
Yep. Like His deal, he's weird. He wants to take all the variables out of golf. He thinks about golf differently than a lot of other people, which is why he has all of his clubs the same length. So he thinks one swing and the loft is just different on each club. Yep. And so he'll have the same swing with each club. Well, his latest endeavor is to get really super fat, which to me, he looks unhealthy and fat. And I'll go through what he has said what he's eating.
And by the way, it's laughable. I hear some of these things where people are like, he's put on 30 pounds of muscle. The hell he has. God. He may have put on some muscle, obviously. Obviously, he's been working out. But let's not act. Again, people are acting like he's going into some sort of bodybuilding thing.
No.
He is not.
No, he's just
fat. He's just bulking up. He's eating everything and anything.
So His usual diet is breakfast. He'll have 4 eggs, 5 pieces of bacon, toast, and 2 protein shakes.
Yeah.
Jesus. Midday, he'll have a PB&J. He says he goes macro bar here and there. I don't know, one of those like.
Yeah, it's the macros, yeah. And it's a. All right. Anyway, it's if you're into fitness.
One of those little bars. Two shakes mid-round or every six holes. And snacking when practicing. Dinner, steak, potatoes, two shakes. And then he says, I'm stuffed from reading this.
That is honestly, that's like if you go through who's the swimmer? Michael Phelps.
Yeah.
That's like a Michael Phelps diet, but that when he's training for the Olympics and they say he burns like 12,000 calories a day because he swims uh-huh. 6 hours in the pool.
Well, this guy doesn't.
He doesn't. He plays golf.
So they're saying it's like, what is it? Like what'd they say on the broadcast? Like 4,000 calories a day or something, which it sounds like it's way more.
That's got to be way more than that.
But he'll sometimes do 7 protein shakes in a day.
I can't even fathom that. Like I mean, honestly, like a normal protein shake, if you're just doing that, I mean, that's going to be, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood of 200 to 400 to 500 calories a shake. And you're having 7 of those.
Yeah.
Don't tell me that you're only eating 4,000 calories. No.
So
no.
He and his big fat neck have gone out since they returned from COVID. And that dude has gone 69 under in 4 weeks since his return, which is 20 shots better than the next guy.
Yeah.
And this last tournament wasn't a strong field, but the tournaments before were.
But he's only won one.
Yeah, and he won this last one. Now, there's a lot that remains to be seen here in terms of how well this is going to go for him, but early returns are holy crap.
Yeah.
He is hitting the ball 350 yards on average.
Rushing it.
That was this last tournament.
Did you see what Koepka tweeted? And he
steroids,
didn't, he
right?
didn't necessarily tweet it at him, but everyone knew what it meant. Koepka just, because I guess they don't get along very
Koepka
well.
Koepka hates DeChambeau,
yeah.
Which makes me love Koepka.
Brooks Koepka tweeted out, it was a little gif from Eastbound and Down, where it's Kenny Powers, and the reporter is asking Kenny Powers about steroids, and Powers loses it on the reporter, and like is like, don't tell me I'm on steroids! And then he goes and grabs the camera, because DeChambeau had a little bit of a run-in with one of the...
We'll get to that.
...the camera people.
But Koepka's like... Brooks Koepka is like the older kids from... oh, my God. Now I'm blanking on the name. All right, all right, all right. What's that movie?
Oh, God.
The freaking... the movie. No.
What is the...
Dazed and Confused. Dazed and Confused. Koepka's like the cool older kids.
Yeah.
And DeChambeau's like the douchey, nerdy, little younger guy who just wants to be liked, and he's such a donkey. So I love that Koepka goes after him. You know it bothers Bryson immensely, but I tell you what, man. Now, I'll take Koepka's majors, right? Koepka's won 4 majors. Bryson hasn't won anything yet.
No.
But what he is doing is he is absolutely obliterating the golf ball to the point where
when he hits it, it is alarming. The sound of it, the look of it.
He's really fun to watch. Yeah. And it is working because so there's something called ShotLink. And what ShotLink does is it measures all of the stats. It's only been around since 2011. And this is how they measure strokes gained and everything. He hits the ball so far that he broke ShotLink. Because he was 30 yards from a green. He drove the ball within 30 yards of the green, and ShotLink thought he missed his approach shot. It was just his drive.
He's pulling a Happy Gilmore.
So the other thing you need to know about him is he hits it so far on his drives. He's also one of the best putters on tour. He just this last weekend won this tournament by leading in both strokes gained off the tee, which is because he's hitting monster drives, and strokes gained putting. That has never happened. He is obliterating statistically what we thought was possible. Now, his wedge game in the middle there is not very good. And as a matter of fact, that's what everybody thinks is holding him back. And if you watch these PGA events, Nick Faldo and these guys are talking about, if he ever dials in his wedge game, watch the F out, because his advantage is so big right now, the way he's hitting the ball, that he could win a lot of majors. Like if you think about Tiger Woods and Dustin Johnson was like this too. These guys didn't really become the elite version of their already elite selves until they dialed in their wedge games. And once they did, their games went to the next level. If Bryson does that, and he seems to think he will, he's like that one, he's not worried about.
It'll come around.
Well, it's just practice. You know, I mean, he's just not very good with his wedges, but he putts so great. He is a really interesting case study. Dude, he's going to win a lot of golf tournaments. I mean, he was playing with Troy Merritt on Sunday. He had honors because he, I don't know, he birdied the last hole or whatever. The hole was 393 yards. And Koepka was like, yeah, I'm going to wait. In other words, I'm going to wait for the green to clear. 393 yards. And Troy Merritt's like, I'll hit. That's demoralizing. Yeah. You're playing a totally different golf course. Troy Merritt can't hit it where Bryson DeChambeau is hitting it.
The question is, like, I guess you gained 40 pounds. You got up to 240. Does another, like, he wants to get another 40 pounds, weigh in 280? Does
yeah,
that?
I don't know. Like, he wants to have gained 100 pounds. I think
like,
it's crazy.
Like, swing speed? I mean, I know bigger guys, right? There is an element, like, if you're just a pure weightlifter, right? The bigger you are, the more muscle mass you can carry. You can lift more weight, plain and simple. A guy that weighs 220 pounds cannot lift the same as the guy that weighs 290 pounds. Can't do it. Mm-hmm. Can't be as strong as that person if you're talking about two elite athletes, right? Same thing, punching power, boxers, wrestlers, all that. That's a real thing. But at what point, is there a law of diminishing returns?
Don't know.
You know?
Great question. I want to see him get there. He's must-see TV, man. Like, he's really interesting to watch. I dislike him. I think he's a douche, and I think that anytime somebody said it on Twitter, the best.
Get your macros in.
Anytime you have to tell people you're not a bad dude, you're a donkey. And he was the guy. He was over this weekend. He got mad about a cameraman being in his face.
Yeah.
Like, dude, you're the talk of the PGA Tour. You want them to film you when you're doing good things and not when you're doing bad things?
That's what he said. He thought that the cameraman, you should be there to uplift and show positive moments and not negative stories.
Come on, man. Yeah. So he's just...
And that's where the Koepka did
the sign of the times right now.
That's where Koepka did the steroid thing to Kenny Powers. Don't ask me about steroids! I'm not on steroids! Ah!
By the way, did you guys see the article on ESPN from a couple days ago about offensive linemen and how they're losing weight?
I saw it, didn't read it.
It was fascinating, and... DeChambeau's got a lot of work to do to eat like an offensive lineman, I'll tell you that. Because you think what he's doing is a lot. They list out some of the food that offensive linemen ate in the NFL. Like Joe Thomas told the article what he would eat. He said for breakfast he would have 4 pieces of bacon, 4 sausage links, 8 eggs, 3 pancakes, oatmeal, peanut butter, followed by a mid-morning protein shake. Lunch, perhaps pasta, meatballs, cookies, and maybe a salad. For dinner, Thomas would have an entire Detroit-style pizza himself, sleeve of Thin Mint Girl Scout cookies and a bowl of ice cream. And finally, he would slurp down another protein shake before getting into bed.
Well, if you look, Joe Thomas has lost like 80 pounds since he's done
playing.
That
was what the article was about, was them losing weight.
He's all slimmed down. So you're talking about them losing weight when they're done playing, not while they're playing.
Right, I'm talking about... No. That was their meals while they were playing.
Yeah, I'm going to say when O-linemen go one of two ways. When you're done playing, you either get really fat or you go the other way, right?
It was just amazing when you read what DeChambeau eats and you're like, wow, that's a lot of food. Plus, he has way too many protein shakes. That was reminded of this article where they were like, yeah, offensive linemen eat like double that. Yeah.
So his philosophy is it's that of a casino. He says the house doesn't always win, but over time, he has such an advantage. He's the house. He says, I'm the house. If he keeps giving himself these types of advantages on these golf courses with his length, he will win over time. And so far, he's right. He's 20 shots better than the other four, than everybody else in the 4 weeks since the return. And he just won. It's scary. He's now the favorite to win every major. He's ahead of Rory. He's ahead of Tiger and all these guys.
It's a really interesting case study because I've always found like it's different because being big and strong doesn't mean that you crush the golf ball, right? I'm a lot stronger than you are. I'm a lot bigger than you are. You hit the golf ball further than me off the tee. If we go out and play, but again, I'm not a great golfer. I'm a 15 or a 16 and you're a 3. So my question is, like, I see these guys all the time that are little dudes that bomb the ball, but if you take someone that already has that elite swing speed that bombs and then you add to it an offensive lineman's body, are you creating a Franken monster that can hit the ball 400 yards? And I guess that's my question is where does it end?
If he's not doing the offensive lineman thing, though, although 280 is pretty beefy.
I played in Denver at 291-ish.
But he still needs to be, not that offensive linemen aren't, but he still needs to be limber and flexible, and he has to get the swing speed. So he'll stop. I guarantee, dude, this guy, somebody said it on text, and they're right. He measures his clubs down to the millimeter.
Yeah.
He is going to get to an ideal weight where he believes he is the beefiest to help him swing the club the fastest to get the fastest swing speed, and he will go no further than that.
Yeah.
Whatever that is. For some reason, he thinks it's 280 pounds. I don't know. Whatever he gets to, keep an eye on him because
that'd be 20 pounds more than I weigh.
Yeah. It's fascinating.
That's a lot. As someone that has carried 280 for most of my life at some, you know, and obviously I've been a lot higher and I've been lower than that. That is for someone that isn't naturally that big. I'm telling you, man, that is a lot of weight to carry around. And also if I'm assuming he's doing weightlifting that goes along with that.
Oh, he posts videos.
And I just wonder joints and all that when you have to stay limber.
He's in trouble.
This is going to be really, really, really fascinating.
A lot of people think that Tiger got guys in shape. Bryson is going to get guys beefy. The next question is who's going to follow this model?
Yeah.
Anybody going to step up and try to do this too? I could see John Rahm doing something like this.
Sure. Rahm's a big guy.
Yeah.
Dustin Johnson. I don't know about this, but if you wanted a guy that is a guy that's in shape and is big and that could carry it, I don't know what Dustin Johnson weighs, probably 190, 200 pounds. Dustin Johnson could carry 60 extra pounds.
He's a big old dude.
He is a big, big dude that could easily carry a bunch of weight. And that's what I want to see. If you get a guy that naturally hits the ball 310, you know, if you put 50 pounds on him, does he hit it 400?
Well, I don't know about 400, but
DeChambeau
now drives it longer than anyone on tour.
Well, 393, and he's like, I'm waiting for him to clear the green.
Yeah, but his average is that tournament was 350. He only averages 325 every drive.
Every drive.
But some drives, yes, he can get, you know, depending on the hole,
and then
he can get roll or whatever.
The question, if he gets to 280 pounds, I'm interested to know kind of what the limit. On someone who has an elite swing.
That's what he's saying.
With that sort of swing speed and can put that kind of mass behind
One more point is, a lot of the players on tour are saying, do not lengthen golf courses because of him.
Yeah, because then it puts everyone at a disadvantage.
They're like, dude, this is one guy. We can beat him still. It's amazing what he's doing, but do not lengthen golf. If they continue to lengthen golf courses, some of these guys can't play out there.
Yeah.
And so we'll see what they do. We'll see how this goes. I mean, it may not work.
By the way, he hasn't won. Jack crap. So
yeah, he hasn't won a major yet. So there's a long way to go with this, but it is really fun to watch. If you want to watch golf, check him out, flip him on, because it's good.
Yeah. And this is kind of going the opposite of everything else, because there's a lot of, like, most athletes now are kind of going into more of a functional, away from the traditional, just as big and as strong as you can get, which is what, like, when I played, we squat, deadlift, bench, you know, power clean. It was just like how big and how, like, just raw strength you can get. And more athletes are going to more of a measured approach of body weight, flexibility, and functional strength, as opposed to, and these are football players, as opposed to guys that just want to bench press 500 pounds.
Yeah, somebody said Patrick Reed could be the next douche to follow this.
Yeah. Well, he's fat. And
he's lost some weight, though.
Has he?
He's kind of gone the other way.
He's kind of poorly.
Another text says, can we just get The Rock some golf lessons? That's fantastic. Get The Rock golf lessons, and he goes out there and whips them all. Hits it 425.
It's a big
this
man.
This game's not hard.
Yep.
Side golf note, real quick. I know we got to go. I just got to corkscrew this in. Just to make you feel better. Ho-Sung Choi was playing in a Korean event over the weekend. He whiffed his tee shot.
What?
Yes. Pro. No. Like Ho-Sung Choi. Yes. Go look it up. It's out there.
Nolan Ryan did.
He whiffed it.
Does that count?
Absolutely counts.
Once you address the ball.
He swung the golf club and the ball fell off the tee. He did not hit the ball. Go look it up. Ho-Sung Choi. It was the 18th hole in the Korean event. And I think it was either Saturday or Sunday.
Oh boy.
Unbelievable.
Whoops.
So, yes, it can happen to the best of them. All right, here's Mike with SportsCenter.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, well, we got a break.
And then
hot golf talk.
I was into the hot golf talk.
I know. Well, what he's doing is revolutionary.
I was into the hot golf talk.
Wow, how about that?
That's interesting.
Why I think
it's
the Bryson DeChambeau thing is interesting, what he's trying to do. And I was reading up because you were asking, you know, look, why don't all guys just put on a bunch of weight and then all of a sudden everybody can bomb the ball and that's it? Well, it's just not that simple. Like, as I said, DeChambeau is this guy who analyzes every little detail. And basically what he is doing is he is trying to train. Part of this is his body weight. Another part of it is he has a different shaft than his driver. Another part of it is his motion, right?
Yeah.
He's trying to put all those things together to train to have the single best possible ball speed and swing speed he can off the tee, right?
Yeah.
And he thinks, I don't know the answer to why, but he believes that he gets more ball speed and more swing speed by gaining a bunch of weight. That's one parameter in a bunch of things that he's put together to try to hit the ball 8,000 yards.
It's not the only thing, but it's a major component.
Because if it were just about gaining weight, you know, I mean, everybody would do it. It's just not that simple. He is trying to train his body, and he's like, you can always tone it back down. His big thing is you can always tone it back down. What I'm trying to do is just test the limits of how fast I can swing the club, because the faster I swing the club, and the faster the ball launches, the longer it's going to go.
Sure.
And then I take out all of that trouble these golf courses have designed to eat me up, like these bunkers or these trees or this or that. He just hits it right over all of it. And imagine the advantage that gives him over other smaller hitters on the shorter hitters on the tour.
Yeah.
And that's what he's doing.
Well, I mean, again, if you're out driving everyone by that kind of distance, I mean, it certainly changes the game. Right. I mean, you know, par fives and par fours, it's a completely different, everyone's done that when you've played from the tips. Right.
Yeah.
And you know, you add 30 or you add 40 yards onto
just
a hole
the tips.
And, or in this case, you know, he's 30, 40 yards ahead of people. It completely changes the course.
The scary thing too, is he also said, and it depends on the course. Courses, all of these courses are different. And sometimes some courses he's going to have a bigger advantage than others.
Sure.
But, it will be fascinating to watch him at the Masters. But
the Masters, you can get after it. I mean, that was Tiger's thing.
Yeah, long hitters do well there. Yeah. But it's also guys who shape the ball a certain way. So
imagine the roll, though, at someone like you play some of the links style courses.
Yeah.
Where it's all burned out and you can just roll it forever.
What was I going to say to you about something?
To see the different courses.
Oh, I had a point and now I lost it.
Damn it. I can't find it. To hell with it.
Sports talk.
Now I feel bad. I was kind of interested
old.
In your point.
I am dying.
I want Rob to, I want to see you do this. I want Rob to go on the super weight gainer, you know.
Once again, Rob, me swinging harder is not a good idea.
I want you in 24-hour fitness just in there, just pumping iron, work wailing on your delts and pecs. Let's do this.
My delts? Does that have anything to do with golf? My delts? I'm going to get the – anybody address the delt portion of I know Tiger addressed the glute portion of the game.
You gotta activate your glutes, man.
I am.
Can I come be your trainer and be in there yelling at you? Come on, Rob, one more. We'll get you a weight belt.
And between sets, you're having a hamburger.
Like, you eat this hot dog. Eat it. Eat it.
You know how you go once every 2 months to get 3 McDonald's cheeseburgers? That's an everyday thing.
That's
now,
right. Rob. Think about what this could do for your game, man. Like, your wife isn't going anywhere. What does she care? Maybe she'll like it. You never know.
All right. I don't remember what my point was. We wrap up the hour with hot sports talk next on The Fan.
Prime time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Golf pants overfloweth with tightness. Got some hot golf talk in there.
Yeah, someone's saying, Rob, you should join Planet Fitness. You can pump iron and eat pizza at the same time. Free yeah. Pizza Fridays, and I think they offer Tootsie Rolls right there at the counter as well.
I don't want to go to the
no
gym.
No longer because, you know, COVID.
Do you guys think gyms are in trouble with COVID? Like,
well, 24-Hour Fitness filed for bankruptcy.
I know, but I just mean, let's say everything gets back to normal, right? Yeah. Whenever that is. Mm-hmm. Do you think that people have just had such different workout routines now that they realize they don't need to spend the money on the gym?
I don't know.
And they'll
I think
continue?
A lot of people miss the gym.
Do they?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you like the routine of going to the gym.
I missed it. When mine wasn't open, it was like I ran and you I mean you saw me in here. I was doing like planks and push-ups in between breaks. I needed something.
And I think for most people, they don't have like I've been pretty fortunate that I've had access to actual workout equipment. Most people don't.
Yeah, I don't have any.
No, most people, I mean, you can do all
that's
you want.
True.
You're trying to do push-ups and whatever. I've been real fortunate, but I hear from people all the time that are like, man, you're so lucky. I wish, you know, Mike, I've had this conversation with Mike a bunch that we both go to the gym and I haven't really missed anything while this has been gone, but most people, it hasn't. So yeah, I think when they come back, I think the gyms are going to be flooded. I think people are going to flock.
I mean, my gym is back. I've been going to gym. It's not
it's
that,
open.
It's not that crowded. Yeah. It's
really?
Been open since they started.
Are you masking up in there?
Yes. Except for when I'm on the treadmill because I cannot breathe, but,
is that legal?
Yeah, it's legal.
You're going to get arrested?
No, Planet Fitness sent us an email and said, in Oregon, and it's true, you can look it up, they make an exception for you can take the mask off during intense exercise.
Seems reasonable.
So I don't necessarily think that's the smartest idea in a gym, but so, you know, if I'm on the treadmill, I leave it off. But if I'm lifting, I put it on.
I'm looking at Peloton here.
And, yeah, I mean, they're God, cleaning. I see the people out there. They're cleaning every 10, 15 minutes, wiping down all the machines. And, you know, they give hand sanitizer on every station. And they already had cleaning stations at that gym anyway. So I just wipe down every machine before and after use. So
I think there are
doing everything I can, but still getting the gym in.
I think there are some people that have gotten on board with the home gym stuff.
That's what I'm saying. Or just running outside. I mean, not everybody lifts weights. Like, people use the gym for
different things.
Yeah. So, or, you know, and some of that stuff you can, I don't know, like resistance bands and crap.
Sure. For what I do, you know, I like gyms. I the weight is a, it would be very hard for me to put together a home gym that would have what I would want. But for a lot of people, sure. I think the whole COVID thing, you know, people are talking about whether it's concerts, whether it's gyms, whether it's airlines. I think this will have a lasting impact on a lot of different industries. And we won't really know until people fully come back what the new norm is, what people have been accustomed to, what people have missed, what people are willing to spend money on. I think those are all questions that are still kind of up in the air. In Vancouver, we still don't have gyms open. So I don't have a choice, but when, like, I go to Crunch in Vancouver, when that is allowed to come back in phase three, yeah, I'll certainly go back to it.
Because gyms were in phase one for us in Oregon. So every county that's open, which is all of them, gyms are allowed to be open.
Peloton's at $61.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of people that...
Peloton's gone, like, I mean, that's gone up a lot.
Yeah, and there's all,
over
you know,
the last...
Dude, that's
six months.
That's a big deal. A lot of people have those, you know, but they're
but
really,
they're expensive.
They're really expensive, and
there's a membership fee.
I think it's like it's more than a gym to have one. I think it's like $40 a month to do the classes, and you know it's
like $1,000 to get the treadmill.
And all
more.
It is just cycling. There's nothing else to it other than cycling. But you know, again, I think there's a lot of people with different needs, and they're exploring it. I just know a lot of people that have Pelotons in their expensive clothing racks. And other people for a gym, it's an accountability thing going there, different classes.
Oh, here's a good point, too, by a texter. My wife likes the gym because it has a daycare.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Hadn't thought about that.
And a lot of people, like, if you go to a gym, there's a ton of people there that it's used as a social sort of, you know, they go there because you want to look at other people, you want to be seen, you want to, you know, it's a...
Oh, well, yeah, the hots will show up.
Yeah, it's a meeting place for a lot of people.
The hots.
Well, and it can be infuriating that people want to sit there and have a 15-minute conversation with you, and you're like, headphones in.
Yeah, but don't you think the mask helps that? Mask and headphones? Like, mask helps for the small talk.
You'd be amazed at how many people plow right through that.
Really?
Like, yeah. It's
I had a girl at Starbucks do that today. It was the drive through? Boy, I was waiting on my coffee.
Yeah.
Man, she chatted me up. Just like the bank. Drove me crazy, but she was so nice.
I feel bad sometimes if you can see like a
give me my effing money! She had her mask on.
There'll be a really attractive girl in the gym, and it's just a nonstop parade of douchey guys. You want a spot? You want me to give you a pointer on that? And you can tell the poor girl.
I would
just
never do that.
Yeah, the poor girl just wants to tell them all to just go blank themselves.
Now, can you tell how hot they are with the mask on now? Or is that
I do think that does cloud your
mystery?
Judgment a little bit.
Throws you
a little mystery there. Maybe they're thinking that about us. Like, oh, look at that
what
guy.
What do your nose and mouth look like?
Take that mask off, sir. Ah!
Yeah. Mine is just a lot of red beard sticking out from the sides of it and the top, so you probably have a decent idea.
Okay, well, I think we're ready for the club hour.
Let's
don't
do it.
You? We've got severed head news.
Is that correct English?
Here on the show.
We've what? Got.
I think we're ready for the club hour. Don't you?
Don't you? Was it more don't you?
Yeah, it's a question. Yeah.
It was weird.
You're
look,
weird.
I just hope that someone poked the severed head with a stick. It's the appropriate response.
Yeah, see, somebody said the Mortal Kombat look is hot. It kind of is.
You think the mask is kind of hot?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Because we've talked about things that add to hotness.
Yeah, okay.
You know, like,
really?
I find golfing outfits are always a big one for me. You find a lady out on the golf course, like, kind of dressed up in the whole to the nines. That, to me, adds.
Amanda Balionis does it for you?
A point and a half. I don't know who that is.
Well, she's the one that's always, she's the reporter on the golf tournaments, but she's always dressed as if she's about to go play nine.
That elevates it a point and
or
a half.
Or 18.
to me. And so what you're saying is the mask is it's giving you an extra.
I like it.
It's a bump.
A little mystery.
Okay.
I think I'm finding out how much I appreciate the mouth as a part of something when I'm looking at the woman.
Right.
And I'm like, wait a minute.
Do you notice people's eyes more?
Well, yeah.
Yeah. See, you try to do the eye contact thing, but with masks on, you definitely do the eye contact thing.
It's
there's
the
nothing
only thing
else
you have
to look at.
Yeah.
Well, I found it. I
very central.
I have this problem. We've talked about it. I look like
stop hitting on me.
I look like I'm gonna murder someone.
Never.
And so I try to go out of my way to force smiles, right? And now with the mask,
yes, your force smiles are great.
Yeah, but those don't really work for
I
you.
Know,
I look,
but
I gotta tell you,
I
man.
Know. But at least it's better than the I'm going to murder you. And now with the mask,
you're not even doing the white smirk. It's just an awkward smile.
I know. But now when I throw the mask on, I feel like it's even more so that I'm off-putting.
Yes, but everybody is.
Oh, so
because
all
we've
on
all
an,
got them on.
We're on an even plane.
Don't
unless
you think?
You have friendly eyes.
Which I don't.
Naturally friendly eyes.
I guess, but I think with the mask on, everybody looks really shady.
Mm. Well,
is that
then,
just because we've been conditioned to think that people wearing masks are
maybe.
Criminals?
There's probably some psychology to that.
I wear sunglasses a lot, and I feel like I'm going to rob a bank. Like, I'll catch a glimpse.
Oh, yeah. How do you wear sunglasses? My sunglasses get fogged up in 2 seconds.
Really?
Yeah,
huh,
from the mask.
Don't.
Instantly
yeah.
fogged up.
I just feel like whenever I'm wearing the mask and sunglasses, I am on the verge of committing a crime. I look at myself, and I'm like, God.
Try it out.
Just walk in. You walk into a bank wearing a mask, it's very off-putting.
Yeah, they don't care now.
No. It's just like, eh.
What was it just like?
Eh.
All right, we got to go. Damn it, shut up.
Sorry.
602 on the fan.
Yeah.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.